Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Widespread devastation, trees pulled from the ground, buildings flattened after a tornado tore through parts of the South. In Mississippi,
Rolling Fork Mayor Eldridge Walker says when the sirens were activated,
my wife and I got in the bathtub and covered our heads. By the time we did that, it sounded like a train coming through the house.
He says it happened quickly, and when they stepped outside,
devastation all around.
CBS's Jennifer Kuiper tells us at least 16 people were killed. There have been three more attacks on American bases from Iran-backed forces. CBS's David Martin with details from the Pentagon.
There are still about 900 American troops in Syria working with local fighters to go after remnants of the ISIS terror network. But that has exposed them to attacks by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards.
He says since the start of the Biden administration, American bases have been attacked 78 times. Former President Trump is heading to Texas.
In an area famed for a long-ago cult showdown with law enforcement, Donald Trump holds his first 2024 presidential campaign rally today in Waco, Texas. This is multiple criminal investigations involving him intensify. A federal judge in Washington has just ordered his ex-White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to testify before a grand jury looking at the January 6th riot of Trump followers. In another Washington investigation, a Trump lawyer testified yesterday about the Mar-a-Lago documents, while New York law enforcement investigates a threatening letter sent to the DA there, now weighing a hush money criminal indictment of the ex-president. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
A deal to keep schools open in one of the biggest school systems in the country.
LA Mayor Karen Bass announced the agreement.
Well, we've done it.
The tentative deal comes after a three-day walkout. The workers, including bus drivers, custodians, and cafeteria workers, had threatened to walk out again if a deal wasn't reached. LA School Superintendent Alberto Cavallo calls it a landmark deal.
This is a multi-year agreement, the likes of which has never been negotiated in this district.
The key part of the agreement is a 30% pay increase. There will also be fully paid health care for anyone who works at least 4 hours a day. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
We're now hearing Gwyneth Paltrow's side of the story in a Utah courtroom. She's being sued by a man who claims she seriously injured him during a crash on some Park City ski slopes in 2016.
I feel very sorry for him. It seems like he's had a very difficult life, but I did not cause the accident.
Terry Sanderson also claims Paltrow left him on the mountain without help. She denies the allegations. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Count on the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle and budget. Get maximum cooling system performance for 10 years or 300,000 miles with peak long life universal premixed antifreeze and coolant. Now just $6.99 after mail-in rebate. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello there. My name is Seychelle, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is the punch of flavors that's unlike any other. You get the crispy tenderness of the chicken and that hint of sourness from the pickles. Ta-da!
Hey, I'm Juan, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is you know you're going to get chicken that's crispy, golden, and juicy. This is the gold standard of chicken sandwiches.
Order the original Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real customers paid for their testimonials.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected today with a chance of flurries. High of 42, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 24. 46 tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 45 Monday with a chance for mixed precipitation, 45 Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information.
brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. Find out about their upcoming DU Expo at duckexpo.com. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Hunter Education Program, dnr.wi.gov. I'm Dan Small. Today, we'll talk to retired DNR wildlife technician Jeff Wilson about his new book, Wrong Tree. And we'll hear from Fishing Has No Boundaries Milwaukee Great Lakes Chapter Chairman John Klett about an upcoming outing for disabled anglers on Lake Michigan this summer. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has paid thousands of dollars in rewards to help solve crimes in the Milwaukee area. Michael Hupe is the president of Milwaukee Crime Stoppers, and he's offering a $25,000 reward for the next anonymous tip that solves a homicide case. So if you've got such a tip, visit MilwaukeeCrimeStoppers.com. Joining me now is Jeff Kelm. He is down in Spring Valley, Illinois. We are recording this midweek, and Jeff, you're kind of right in the middle of two back-to-back walleye tournaments there in Spring Valley, aren't you?
Yeah, I would say that the two biggest in the nation. We have the Masters Walleye Circuit that we ran over the course of Friday and Saturday, and then now we're into the National Walleye Tour. Both happened at Spring Valley. Both happened at Spring Valley Boat Club. We're just before the day two weigh-in, and so that'll be exciting to see what happens here. But, you know, the Masters Walleye Circuit event was cold, like bitter, bitter cold. We're talking the temperature at takeoff on Saturday was 13 degrees with a 20-mile-an-hour wind.
Oh, boy.
It was bitter. You know what? Believe it or not, the guys caught better fish on day two on that Saturday than they did the day before.
Wow.
So it's incredible the adversity that these anglers are able to work through. So the Masters Walleye Circuit, Sammy Capelli and Tony Carrick won with 21 pounds and 5 ounces. That's even a low weight for Spring Valley. We usually don't see really, really big weights in Spring Valley. We're fishing for saugers that range from a pound and a half to maybe 2.5 pounds or so. But we generally see some kicker walleyes. Saw a few less kicker walleyes in there, and I think the big fish for the weekend was like 4 pounds. We're seeing a slightly larger fish now for the National Walleye Tour. They're just starting to kind of turn on, I guess. We've got some clearer water conditions, and so the National Walleye Tour anglers are just kind of having better conditions to be in. And so they're catching a little bit larger fish, and those females are starting to turn on and starting to show up. And I think we had some bags. We don't weigh big fish in the National Walleye Tour, but I do think we had some bags. We had some probably 4.5-pound fish in them. Probably a few different bags had 4.5-pound fish in them. And we'll see what we see later on this afternoon.
All right. Well, what body of water or bodies of water are you fishing down there?
Yeah, so this is the Illinois River. The anglers are able. We're in the Peoria Starved Rock Pool. So Peoria is on the south end of it, and Starved Rock, Utica, Illinois, rather, is on the north end of it or upstream side of it. And the anglers are able to lock up and down if they want to, but most of them are staying within this pool. It's quite a large pool on the Illinois River. A lot of area to cover, a lot of fish to catch. So they're having a good time. A lot of groups of anglers. When you go up and down the river, you can see where there's clearly been some fish caught. You've got kind of a pile of anglers together.
And this is the river that has silver carp, the invasive Asian carp. Are they in that section, and are they a problem if they are?
Yeah, so they are in this section, but the water temp is so cold.
That's what I wondered, yeah.
Yeah, you really don't get much of them surfacing like you do in the summertime. They're pretty lethargic at this point. The guys certainly do hook into them during the course of the fishing. They feel them bumping their lines and stuff like that. They kind of got a thud to them when they cross the lines, as they tend to be a little bit bigger than some of those walleyes and saugers in the system. It's not too much of a problem this time of year. Certainly, if it was warmer, I think we would see quite a few issues.
Yeah, you would. Running up and down the river, they would be jumping into the boats. I was there 10 years ago, and I can't imagine that it's gotten any better since then. Well, Jeff, we're going to let you go and let you finish the National Walleye Tour tournament there and drive safely coming home. We'll get a full report on that event on next week's show, and we'll talk to you again then.
Sounds good, Dan. Thanks for the call.
You bet. Jeff Kelm joining us from Spring Valley, Illinois. He'll be back with us next week. I'm teaching a muskie fly fishing seminar this Saturday morning at the Capital City Chapters of Muskie Inc. Muskie School at Wanakee High School. And if you're hearing this early Saturday morning and you're not too far from Wanakee and you got time, you could still walk in and register for the Muskie School. You take three classes, two in the morning, one in the afternoon. Lunch is provided. The fee is very reasonable and there are lots of door prizes. And you can learn more at muskieuniversity.com. And this afternoon, again, if you're listening on Saturday, I'll be at the Milwaukee chapter of Great Lakes Sport Fishermen Open House at the New Berlin Ale House. That's at 16,000 West Cleveland Avenue in New Berlin. They'll have bucket raffles, exhibitors, and guest speakers. Dan Keating is talking this morning about Great Lakes fishing, and I'll be there from roughly 1 to 4 this afternoon talking about 50 years of Wisconsin outdoor adventures. Coming up, retired DNR wildlife technician Jeff Wilson and his wife Terry Dalton talk about their new book that covers 30-plus years of adventure working with wildlife across North America and all over the world. But first, Great Lakes Milwaukee Chapter of Fishing Has No Boundaries president John Klett talks about an upcoming outing on Lake Michigan for disabled anglers. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Get outside and let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for a safe Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 miles of wooded ATV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, 7 wild river waterfalls to hike to, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to the exploreflorencecounty.com lodging, dining, and recreation tabs to plan your trip.
Flo has made world-class recreational and utility trailers for 40 years, and the industry-leading innovations keep on coming. Choose an all-aluminum UT model or Cargo Max, the only utility trailer with a molded polymer bed, integrated sides, and an engineered aluminum frame. With either one, you'll know you don't have just any old trailer. If a new trailer is on your mind, check out FLOEINTL.com. Flo Trailers, where the rubber meets the road.
Introducing the all-new OutdoorNews.com, the most trusted source for all things out of doors in the Great Lakes region, just got better. At OutdoorNews.com, you'll now have full access to every outdoor news story, breaking news and updates, our comprehensive fishing and hunting reports, pro tips, and much more for our seven-state region and beyond. Top hunters and anglers look to Outdoor News to keep them up to date and ahead of the crowd. Now it's easier than ever with the all-new OutdoorNews.com.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Escanaba, and Houghton. We at Remy Battery Company want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the past 90-plus years and your continued support of our local, family-owned company. Stop in and see the expertise of over 9 decades of battery knowledge and customer service. Let us take care of the batteries for all of your needs, from power tools to sump pumps and ATVs to hunting decoys, even down to the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or waters. Don't forget to ask your sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Well, Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now is John Klett. He's president of the Great Lakes Milwaukee chapter of Fishing Has No Boundaries, and they've got an event coming up in June that we're going to talk about. Well, John, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Well, Dan, on behalf of Fishing Has No Boundaries and the Great Lakes Milwaukee chapter, as chairman, I thank you very much for putting me on the radio.
Well, you bet. I had a chance to meet you at the Journal Sentinel Sports Show about a week ago and chat a little bit about your event. And I am familiar with Fishing Has No Boundaries, but for folks who don't know and never heard of it, tell us about the organization.
We're one of surviving 18 chapters after COVID, seven in the state of Wisconsin. And we, out of Milwaukee chapter, provide the opportunity and pleasure to those with physical challenges to fish the big water of Lake Michigan, deep sea style. And coming up on June 3rd, which is the same day there's a free fishing day, you don't need a license. For those that are challenged physically and mentally, they're invited to join us out of South Shore Yacht Club. We'll talk to you about it a little bit more.
Sure. So what happens on that day? How does it work?
If you sign up, first and foremost, a participant will join us at 5:30 in the morning. From there, by 6 o'clock, be registered and on board. And they'll partner with the captain through our fleet director, Brandon Witt, who along with Ryan Floor, pretty much in charge of partnering the boat captains who volunteer their crafts for the day, seasoned fishermen on Lake Michigan, to pick up a couple of people, maybe one or two, depending on boat size, to fish the big water. And as you know, June 3rd is a good opportunity to fish for coho salmon and brown trout and rainbow trout, and of course a chance like last year for a 22-pound Chinook salmon. If you can get yourself on board, signed up, and we'd be delighted to have it. So the day includes a morning of fishing. Boats return around the lunch hour for a picnic-style lunch, a picnic table underneath the big white tent. We do have a weigh-in, provide fillet and ice service for the catch, and that's all done and packaged, put in coolers, and ready for people to take home with them. And then we have a ceremony along with that hot lunch, a photo op, and then the big fish trophy goes out. That pretty much wraps up the day, and we make a lot of new friends and look forward to it again this year.
Okay, and who is eligible to join you to fish that day?
I like to think of it as being all-inclusive and intergenerational. I like to have a mixed group, young and old alike. We partner with a couple of people like yourself. There's sort of this new alliance for me. The word is getting out to a broader audience. Pat Horvath of Veterans Afield has been my mentor and very instrumental in helping put the veterans on board. I like to have youngsters, teenage years, participants get to go with their advocate, which is either a parent or a family member or someone to assist on board. So there's 30 participants with an advocate. So that you multiply that times two, you got 60 people, then a boat captain and a first mate. Before you know it, you got 120 people, and then all the volunteers on shore. We might have a gathering of 200 people.
That's quite a collection of people. Now, you have guides or charter captains. Are they paid, or is there any charge for this?
We offer it free, so we've been able to eliminate any cost, whether you're a veteran or a youngster or what have you. All people are included. It's all inclusive. The captains are all seasoned. We insure boats up to 26 feet. Anything over 26 feet, those boats are welcome to join us, but they provide their own insurance on board, and we make sure that that's all taken care of. One of the other important things is to let people know that as participants, if they're saying, well, how do I get on a boat and stuff like that? We offer lift assistance through the Milwaukee Firefighters, who are another partner with us that have a dive team, you know, a bunch of young firefighters, and people are able-bodied to lift people over the seawall and onto boats and safely get people on board. If they need to be in their chair, we provide that as well, or they do. Boat captains are some charter captains, mostly people from the GLSF, the Great Lakes Sports Fishermen Group. They're a headliner in our group. Bob Winchek and Brian Hayden and the rest of the board invited me. They tapped me on the shoulder one meeting, Dan, and asked me if I'd want to do this for Fishing Has No Boundaries. And I said, well, I don't know much about it. Well, I thought about it overnight and talking with people, and I thought, well, this is right for me, and it's been a good fit ever since. I've enjoyed it as a sort of a weekend fisherman myself. I do, now that I'm retired, able to get out and fish with people during the week and learn about the big water and safely fish it. So safety first and all that, but a lot of the captains with their first mate are from the GLSF. And I'm hoping that we have a group all the way from Racine, Kenosha area up to Sheboygan, maybe up the coast a little bit further. But everybody's welcome as a captain. And I think with that question that you asked, we do need boat captains to grow our event. It's a day that charter captains might want to be out with paying customers. And it has to fit for the captain to make the decision to join us. And we'd be more than happy to welcome them.
All right. Where can people learn more, either to volunteer as a captain or as someone on shore? I suppose you need help with the lunch crew and all that. Or people who want to maybe participate, if they know someone who would want to participate. How can we learn more?
They go to our website, FHNB, Great Lakes, MKE.com. They'll be able to find out a lot more about it and how to register and be a volunteer or donate or be a sponsor or participant or boat captain. There's a telephone number for boat captains.
That's on the website, isn't it?
Yep. And if you want to be a participant, my telephone number is there too. And that our email address is fhnbmilwaukee@gmail.com.
All right.
Participants are eager. They're all fishermen. Both captains are eager to volunteer and enjoy the event.
All right. Well, we will mention that website again. It's FHNB Great Lakes MKE.com. And folks, if you can't remember that, if you just go online and search Fishing Has No Boundaries, you'll find the national webpage. There's a tab for chapters. You'll find the Milwaukee chapter, and all the contact information can be accessed right there. John, thanks so much for sharing this and for telling us about this event. It's something you do every year. You call it the Big Fish Event, I understand. We hope you have a lot of success this year. We hope some more people sign up as volunteers, and we hope you get a full crew of participants as well.
Well, again, thank you very much, Dan, for having me on, and I look forward to those calls. And on behalf of Fishing Has No Boundaries, Great Lakes, Milwaukee Chapter, I'd like to invite you along to break some bread with us and have lunch and see how it all works. If you are open on June 3rd, you're welcome to join us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invitation. Well, folks, John Klett is the chairman of the Great Lakes Milwaukee Chapter of Fishing Has No Boundaries. We've been talking about their Big Fish event for physically challenged folks, for the most part, veterans and otherwise. And that's on June 3rd. And again, the website, FHNB, GreatLakesMKE.com. Just search Fishing Has No Boundaries, and you'll get all the information there. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at DanSmallOutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend and on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Buy a new Crestliner boat at Cedar Lake Sales now and get instant cash back through the end of the month. And the folks at Cedar Lake Sales are gearing up for their Launch into Summer event April 3rd through the 8th with seminars on Saturday, April 8th. Check out their website or Facebook page for details. We're also brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. Find out about their upcoming DU Expo at duckexpo.com. And by the Wisconsin DNR Hunter Education Program. Want to go hunting? Sign up for hunter education or learn to hunt classes at dnr.wi.gov. Our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin may not be airing where you live now, but you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And last year's Deer Hunt Wisconsin show is archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel, along with shows from several past years. If you happen to miss any dates or websites or phone numbers that we mentioned, you can always listen to the show online at lake-link.com/radio. And our show is also available as a podcast from LakeLink, from iHeartMedia, and also now on the new Outdoor News website. OutdoorNews.com/podcasts is the way to find it. You can find Jeff on social media at Hardwater Jeff and find me at Dan Small Outdoors. Leftover turkey permits went on sale this week, and all remaining permits are on sale as of Saturday, March 25th. You can buy one per day until they're sold out or until the turkey season ends. With winter conditions lingering in some parts of Wisconsin and Minnesota, you may be tempted to feed deer, thinking you're helping them get through a difficult time. But the DNR reminds us that supplemental feeding of deer, such as leaving corn and other feed out for them in your backyard, actually causes more harm than good, as their gut is not adapted to feed items that are not part of their natural winter diet. And besides, feeding deer is currently illegal in most Wisconsin counties. For a full list of wildlife feeding regulations and details on why supplemental feeding in winter can be harmful to deer, visit dnr.wi.gov, keywords baiting and feeding. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. Warren and friends will present a series of concerts this spring, and for upcoming events you can visit warrennelson.com and click on the media page. I'm Dan Small. Jeff Kelm will be back next week. Get outside this weekend, folks, and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Let's get to the perfect speed. Oh, how I love leaving the shore behind. When the cool night swallows the moose's nose and the heron is fishing on one cold leg. When the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss him. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's my name? Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Left sideline. Going to Davis at the top. Feeds Wall high to the right. Tigers down one. 13:40 remaining. Klesman finds a cutting. Davis Wall on the left. Up and in. It counts at a foul. Sorgen extending things a little bit on the defensive end. Is CJ against Ward. Throwing to Gilmore. Top of the circle. Finds a cutting. Hepburn to the rim. And he'll send it in. Chucky Hepburn. Slam dunk. This zone here from Oregon. Klesman feeds Wall. Shot clock at 5. Skip pass. Chucky stamps off a 3. Right side. Book it! Chucky Hepburn for 3. And it's 59-57 Wisconsin. And Soares inbounding, the seven-footer Crowell in his face. Soares winds up, heaves it deep, and it's knocked away. And Guerrier for three, and the tie back rim, no good. And it's off to Las Vegas for the Wisconsin Badgers.
The Badgers men's basketball team continues postseason play.
You can hear the action when Wisconsin takes on North Texas in the semifinal round of the National Invitational Tournament Tuesday night at 6.
Listen on these local Civic Media Network radio stations.
WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. Dial up WRCE 1450 AM or 107.7 FM in Richland Center or WLAK 1260 AM in Amory. Find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and everywhere on the Civic Media app.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Good chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. You know, every so often a book comes across my desk that I think I will really appreciate and that I think you will appreciate as well. And I just finished reading such a book. The title is Wrong Tree, and it was written by Jeff Wilson and illustrated by his wife, Terry Dalton. Jeff is a retired Wisconsin DNR wildlife technician, and we'll ask him about that job and the work it entailed in just a bit. And Terry is an environmental educator and artist, and together they came up with the idea for a conservation advocacy organization that I'm sure you've heard of that became Wisconsin's Green Fire. They live in Iron County, Wisconsin. They split their time between their home in Mercer and their cabin on an island in the middle of the Turtle Flambeau flowage, in a beautiful location, and they travel around the world as well. They have a website for this book. It's called wrongtreebook.com. And they join us now by phone. Jeff, we're going to talk to you first. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Well, thank you as well, Dan. I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate the invitation.
Well, gosh, where to start? I've known the two of you since your undergrad days at Northland College, and I think you and I first worked together on a TV shoot for Outdoor Wisconsin when you and John Olson took me and a TV crew snowshoeing across the frozen ice of the Turtle Flambeau flowage to install an osprey platform on the top of a white pine. I'm sure you remember that outing, although you did that probably 100 times. I was there just once.
I do remember that. We had a lot of fun on that excursion. And, you know, we just tabbed things up. And between John and I, we've erected now over 200 of those platforms all over Wisconsin, as well as Minnesota and Iowa.
And what amazed me that day, and I'm a tree climber, or I was in my younger days, but boy, you go up a white pine like it's just a ladder and you're just taking a stroll. And there you are hanging from the top of the tree, sawing off the top and installing this platform. Were you ever frightened by the height of that endeavor?
Well, you know, that, like a lot of other activities, had its trials and tribulations. But John and I always said, not anybody can do this job. It actually requires a test. And we always told people the test was the common IQ test. Lowest score got the job. And we really never had much competition for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we know that you're not serious there, but it does take a certain amount of courage and, I guess, what the hell attitude to climb a tree and put a nest platform in a tree, or climb a tree with a nest full of birds that have 2-inch talons, or wrestle with a bear in a trap, and you've done all that. But gosh, you got your start back in Iowa. How did you get interested in wildlife?
Well, growing up on an Iowa farm, both my mom and dad were always home, so we didn't get to town all that much. And back then it was legal to actually have wild animal pets. And through my boyhood, I had a pet fox, right, named Zorro, who was so tame he'd ride in the truck with me. I have a story about him in the book. I had a pet de-scented skunk named Flower, and I had a raccoon. And back then there was a story by Hayden North, I think, called Rascal. And
oh, yeah.
I read that story about a boy and his raccoon. I just wanted one in the worst way. And so I think my real love for wildlife started with those wild animal pets. And, of course, then when I got to be over 12 years old, I was in the heart of cottontail rabbit and pheasant hunting territory. And so I spent a lot of my boyhood tromping what I call the Creek Roman days, where I fished in the creek and hunted trapped muskrats in the marsh. And I had a wonderful, wonderful boyhood in Iowa. And I think it was those wild animals, though, that kind of set me off and steered me to a degree in resource management in wildlife.
A lot of adults can say, yeah, I hunted cottontails and I played around with wildlife when I was a kid too, but you made a career of it. And your book, Wrong Tree, I read it from cover to cover, and I don't always do that. I just loved it. And I honestly think it's an important book for several reasons. Your stories about your work and your adventures with wildlife, whether it's here in Wisconsin or around the world, uncover the backstory of wildlife management and environmental policy decisions that people don't understand. A lot of people have attitudes about scientists and the DNR in particular, but gosh, if they followed you for a day or two, as I have in person, or if they follow you by reading these stories, they'll get a different picture of what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, I totally agree with you there. But another reason I wrote the book was for inspiration of people to maybe want to pursue a career in resource management. And I don't want to instill that you have to be from an Iowa farm and a farm background to be a good wildlife biologist or wildlife technician. We have terrific people in the field right now that come from urban environments, and that's perfectly fine. Some of my best colleagues come from urban environments. But you're right, the background and that love for wildlife, that is what inspired me to write the book. I want people to know, what a wildlife technician actually does. What does a wildlife biologist do? And what is it like to ride in the truck with a field technician who's doing resource management? What's it like to go down in a bear den? What's it like to ear tag a bear? What is it like to, like you said, climb an osprey platform and ban an osprey or an eagle? And so I'm hoping the book is inspirational in that sense, that others might read it and someday hopefully consider a similar career.
Yeah, that's certainly a noble goal for the book, and I think it will inspire people. I also think it should be read by every legislator in this state anyway, especially those who think that we don't need any more science behind wildlife management decisions. And for that same reason, it ought to be read by all the people who think management decisions are made by pencil pushers in Madison. They have no clue what's going on out there. I know you've met them, the barstool biologists who know there are no more deer and there are way too many wolves and so on and so forth. I'd like to see more of those people read this book or at least hear some of your stories.
Well, I totally agree. That's why when I wrote these stories, they're anecdotal stories. There's about 60 of these stories. But I wanted it to definitely entertain, first of all, so somebody could pick that book up and really enjoy reading it. And I also, as I go through the different animals I worked with, where I started with the beaver years, trapping and relocated, probably beaver, and then I get into ospreys and bears, and then we get tundra swans, and we end with wolves. And what I actually want to do was also teach the natural history of each animal. So as you read the book and you're entertained, I want you to also become educated in what is the science behind these animals, and how do we as field biologists actually collect data to come up with population modeling. And so I wanted, like you said, to let the public know what we really do in DNR and how it works and how all that data is fed in, and, you know, just give them a little roadside cruise on the life of a wildlife tech.
And another thing that I learned in reading this book, that you and your colleagues were pretty good tinkerers. If you needed a tool that didn't exist, you created it, like the bear trap that you added a cow stanchion to so that you could ear tag a bear by getting his head caught in the stanchion and not have to drug him first. I mean, that was ingenious,
yeah. You know. I think John Olson and I ended up probably ear tagging in that technique about 80 bears over our career. And of course, it came about because the Food and Drug Administration had said, no drugging, we don't want any controlled substances in an animal 30 days prior to the possible consumption of the meat. So with the bear hunting season opening like the first week in September, we had to stop tranquilizing bears, thus ear tagging them about the first week in August. But we knew we needed that data. I mean, ear tag bear data can be used in a lot of ways. And not only about that particular bear, but it can also be used as part of our census technique for population model. So that's why we tried to come up with that so-called invention, which did work, you know, after a few trials and tribulations, but it did actually work. You're right, there are a few stories about how we finagle things to make it work and kind of build things on the spot, so to speak.
And there are stories where the animals didn't really cooperate with you. There's some great bear stories in there, like the one who ended up watching TV. Tell us about that bear.
Okay, that was a very odd situation. It was in the town of Montreal, which is a suburb of Hurley, Wisconsin. My work area was Iron and Ashland County, so this was in Iron County. Usually when you get a bear problem, most of the time, especially if it's a nuisance complaint, most of the time it's a food situation. You know, if you remove the food, you remove the bear problem. But in this case, I go up, and this place is immaculately clean. An elderly woman lives there with her two cats. She called because she said a bear had entered her home and torn her door off. And so I get there, and her story is she's watching this television show called Hunter, which was a kind of a crime show in the 80s.
Sure.
And she hears a little ruckus behind her. She senses there's something in the room, and she turns around, and here is a big old bear sitting right there watching the television with her. And she, of course, screams, and the bear takes off and took the door with it. So when I arrived, there was no door. What had actually happened there, I believe, was she had propped the door open about a foot. So her cats had come and go. It was a hot summer night, and the bear had stuck its nose in, opened the door, came in, fed on the cat food, and then seeing her sit there watching Hunter, decided to take a look and watch Hunter himself. And, of course, when he left in a hurried manner, the door only swings one way, and thus the door was removed. Anyway, within a day, I did catch the bear, and it was a huge bear, and I resolved the problem, but it was always one of those stories that puzzled me because it was so unusual. And I guess the book does, as you say, have a lot of those unusual things. I mean, it was almost inevitable the word wrong be in the title because there are a few wrong things. There are plenty of right things, but yeah, there are a few wrong things that did happen in that 30-year span.
Well, we'll come back and talk about some more of those. We got to take a break here. Will you stay with us?
I'd be happy to.
All right. Folks, I'm talking with Jeff Wilson, retired DNR wildlife technician, about his new book, Wrong Tree, and we'll continue this conversation right after this. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Flo has made world-class recreational and utility trailers for 40 years, and the industry-leading innovations keep on coming. Choose an all-aluminum UT model or Cargo Max, the only utility trailer with a molded polymer bed, integrated sides, and an engineered aluminum frame. With either one, you'll know you don't have just any old trailer. If a new trailer is on your mind, check out FLOEINTL.com. Flo Trailers, where the rubber meets the road.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm talking with Jeff Wilson, and we'll be talking with his wife, Terry Dalton, in just a few minutes. Jeff wrote a book after a 30-year career with the Wisconsin DNR and working with wildlife, and the book is called Wrong Tree, and we'll ask about that title in just a bit. So Jeff joins us by phone from Mercer, Wisconsin. Jeff, there are a lot of people in this book, and what I told you before we started recording is, man, it's almost like old home week for me. I know about half the people you mention in the book. There are a lot of colleagues and friends and new acquaintances who appear in your stories.
Well, Dan, that was a lot of fun for me writing the book as well, because it's just not my story alone. I mean, the second half of the book is Terry Dalton and I, after we're married and we're doing all these other research projects, but the first part of the book especially is about all these young people that sort of showed up at my place. I had like 7 different graduate students from Stevens Point working on black bears. I had a loon researcher. I had a PhD on loons that I worked with. I had Merlin Falcon, master's student from Eau Claire. Had all these fun people. And part of writing the book and part of the fun of it was following them through their careers. You know, some of them are professors at universities. Many of them have their doctorate. One of them became an administrator. One of them showed up as an LTE. That's the lowest paid position in DNR. And retired last year as a division administrator with the Bureau of Wildlife Management. A lot of the fun of the book was telling their story because it's as exciting as mine.
It certainly was, and I asked you this off-air, but I will ask you now. You worked with all of these people who went on to get graduate degrees and teach in universities, and yet you remained in the field. What is it about the work that you did that kept you there instead of going somewhere else or taking an advanced position?
Well, I did start at Brule as an LTE, then I went to Park Falls, and then later at Mercer. At least 20 years of my career was at Mercer. Well, actually 30 years. I love Mercer. It's a small town. It's about 800 people. Nice community. I owned a home. I was raising a family. And I think people that pursue careers in resource management, they're really not out for the money. They want the adventure. They want to feel they're doing something moral with their lives. And I think a lot are driven for more than incentive and going up the ladder, so to speak. But anyway, in my case, I was quite satisfied with where I was. I have always had wonderful supervisors that really gave me a lot of leeway. Blessed with that. So I was just fine as a tech, and I really liked the field work. I'm one of the few people can say I wore out 2 pairs of snowshoes in my career.
Wow.
Yeah, the money, it just wasn't that big a factor for me, I guess. I loved the area I was at, and I had a couple chances to advance, but I was just fine where I was. I didn't want to sit in the office and do budgets and field reports and work plans. I'd rather be out tromping around in the North Woods collecting data on different wildlife species.
And you collected all kinds of data. Is there one species among those you worked with that you love working with more than any other?
Well, you know, of course, I met my wife, Terry Dalton, through loons, because she was the Loon Watch coordinator for Sigurd Olsen Environmental Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And then I teamed up with Dr. Mike Meyer, who is our state's first toxicologist. And he was looking at loons. He previously looked at eagles, but he was looking at loons as an environmental indicator for toxins in the environment. And what we really focused on with Mike, and what I'm proud of on loons, is our work, Mike's work, actually contributed to setting emission standards for coal-fired electrical power plants, mercury emissions, throughout the Midwest. So here we have this wonderful pragmatic species, the common loon, and by taking feather samples and blood samples, we could actually use that indicator species, this apex species that bioaccumulates toxins, as a environmental indicator bird, or species, I should say, for contaminants in our lakes. Now, who would have thought that, you know, all that could come around full circle, I guess, but it does. And, you know, other species, of course, were rough grouse, woodcock surveys, deer surveys, frog and toad surveys, you know. When I started in 76, there wasn't even a Bureau of Endangered Resources.
Right.
Now, you know, these species are very important for ecological health, and also, like frogs and toads, are very good indicator species for toxins as well. A lot of the book, I try to connect the dots, so to speak, to let the general public kind of know what we do out there and how it all makes a difference in our lives,
yeah,
in our health.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a couple of activities that I've done, not with you, but with Fred Strand. I did a frog and toad survey one night with him, and we drove his transects, and we ended the night on the banks of the Brule River, lying on our back, watching the most amazing Northern Lights display I had ever seen at that time. I remember my son wanted to go with us because he was 5 or 6 at the time, and he thought we were going to catch frogs. And I said, no, we're just going to listen to them. And that puzzled him, so, you know, and I wasn't going to take a 5-year-old on that trip anyway, but that was a great outing. And then later when my son was 10, I think we were out with Jack Koch when he trapped a bear in a culvert trap, and he drug the bear, pulled it out, and did the work that he had to do. And of course, you know, having worked with TV crews, it takes longer to do something when you're doing it for television. And
oh, for sure.
He was done with the bear work, but we were still shooting video. And he said, well, we got to get this bear back in the trap. And we pushed the bear's hind end, and the bear actually walked the last 3 steps to get back into the culvert trap. That
you were running out of time then.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
And John really remembers that because we had a bag of black cherries, and he was holding them by the stem and putting them through a hole in the culvert trap, and the bear was popping them with his teeth and enjoying that snack. It's probably the only time
sure.
he ever got that kind of snack. I'm sure he ate a lot of donuts in his day.
Well, as you know, the book is full of bear stories, and they are an interesting species to work with because things can go wrong with them and can go right. Yeah, my years with bear work were very exciting years. I enjoyed it very much, and I enjoyed all the grad students I worked with on that project.
Well, let's talk to Terry for a second, if we may, if you can pass
okay,
the phone to her.
Here's Terry.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, I'm sure
thanks for talking with us.
Well, this is a real treat for me. I'm sure you've heard all of Jeff's stories so many times you must be tired of them, but he tells a great story, and you illustrated the book very nicely with, are those, what do you call those? Are those woodcuts, or is that another technique?
Well, I'm glad to hear you suggest that they're woodcuts, because that was my original intent, but as often happens with a couple, you get into arm wrestling over details, and the first couple woodcuts that I tried weren't detailed enough for Jeff, and I thought, well, what can I do? I can't quite capture the level that he wants, and I luckily ended up at the Sigurd Olsen Nature Writing Awards and ran into an illustrator up there who worked on scratchboard, and I bent her ear a little bit and decided to go with scratchboard, but trying to make them look like woodcuts, so sort of have that look of the old WPA poster look. They're black and white, and they were really fun to do.
You did a good job of complementing the stories with your art. Is there a favorite illustration in there of yours?
That's a funny thing that you asked that, Dan, because one of my favorites is one that Jeff wondered, why was I doing it? And it was a picture I did of a black lab barking. And he's like, what are you doing with that? And it was a story about some bear cubs that had gone up a tree,
yep,
unbeknownst to the homeowner, and their dog was going nuts every time the female bear would come into the yard, not realizing there were cubs in the tree. So I did a drawing of that lab barking, but with a thought bubble coming off of his head with the bear cubs up the tree. And that one was really fun to do. You know, another one I really enjoyed was another bear one. There was a story in Mellon about the dog Bandit who saved his owner from a bear attack when he chased the bear out of the pig yard.
Yep.
And I did a nice sketch of Bandit, Ed Tofelsky's boots, because he'd fallen down, and the bear running at full clip. So that was kind of fun.
I remember that one as well. Can you put Jeff on so we can wrap this up? But thanks for sharing your story behind the stories. We got more to talk about here, so.
Okay, here he is.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Okay, I'm back then.
You're back. Well, gosh, we've got to wrap this up here, but what I'd like to do is bring you back another time and have you tell one of the stories. I'll let you pick your favorite one to tell from the book, okay, and we'll give people another taste of it here because we've been talking about it, but they haven't yet tasted the book itself. So would you do that?
I'd love to do it. Anytime, Dan. Be more than happy.
All right, great. We will do that. Well, folks, I'm talking with Jeff Wilson and his wife, Terry Dalton. They wrote and illustrated a book called Wrong Tree, and you can get copies if you want to read it yourself. Their website is wrongtreebook.com. And we'll have Jeff on another show soon to tell us one of those stories. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Get outside and let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for a safe Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 miles of wooded ATV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, 7 wild river waterfalls to hike to, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to the exploreflorencecounty.com lodging, dining, and recreation tabs to plan your trip.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake, and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.